7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Begin transmission.
Yeah, no, that's not quite the right time. Not exactly, no. But I'm sure there are some clocks around the world that read 9:27 at this point. However, it is actually 19:30 UTC, and that means it's time to begin the Dubious Goals Committee. And speaking of tea, we have to pour some tea right now, because I'm thirsty. Oh yeah, I got tea. Pretty excited about it. What kind of tea do I have today? Oh yeah. Mmm. Oh, it's delicious. Yeah. Mmm. Yeah. Okay. And there goes my teapot. Listen to that. Right, so let's see if my computer's working. So I'll try to log in here, and we'll see if it's still giving me some kind of problem. Last week we had a big storm, and I don't know if that had anything to do with why my Wi-Fi router does not want to work worth a damn, because, I don't know, computers. So I'm sitting here trying to get my computer to work, and okay, I'm logged in. Let's see if SSH is working. Because I want to log into some other remote computers. And I get the feeling that this is not going to... Nope, there it is. It failed. Okay. So, I guess we're going to turn the little pocket chip off. And what else can we do instead? What are we going to do? What the hell are we going to do today? Oh, wait, I have an idea. Not of something to do today. But now I think I know what to do with my computer. My quasi-computer. My quasi-computer. As my old Japanese literature professor used to say. She used to say, quasi. Not quasi. Quasi. And that's what I have. I have a quasi-computer. Or a quasi-computer. And even though it was freaking out a minute ago, it did something different just now. And I just now realized what that means. Because it hung up a little bit right here. I'm rebooting. Yeah, see, okay, this is telling me that the quasi computer can see my Wi-Fi router, which is different than before. Before, it would just totally blink out and be wonky. See, now it's trying to start my SSH daemon again, and it's having a problem. And see, and it's hanging here. Okay, fine. Okay, this is the most boring part of the Dubious Goals Committee ever. Because, yeah, isn't this great? We have to listen to Tobe try to do his computer problems on the radio. Don't we already have some non-radio shows that have computer problems? And yes. Boy, I have to sit here for a long time for this thing to try to start up the SSH daemon. And it's really hanging. All right, well, I don't know. Maybe we could go to the new 800 number. I pulled this one off of TV a couple days ago.
Beep. direct line, press 3. To hear these options again, press 0.
I'm going to press 4.
Your case is the BFI's priority. Tag Butterfinger Investigators on Twitter with details, and we'll do our best to crack the crispity-crunchity crime. To return to the main menu, press 0.
I'm going to press 9. Ooh, I broke it. It's silence. Yay, I broke it. And now I can log into my computer. So let's log in. We'll type in the password, which is big fat cat. And then we'll wait for this to go. And it's going. But we have to wait, so I'm going to type in some commands to start the operating system while it waits. And then there we go. Now I've got this beautiful blank screen as I wait for the OS to start. That's taking a long time. Okay, here it comes. Huh. Is my computer acting weird? Did that big storm last week mess up my computer? It probably did. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to start up my... What do you call this, Steve? My web browser. Because for some reason, I need a web browser to talk to my router, even though we're not on the web. It makes no damn sense. Yeah, and look at this. Uh-huh. It's smart. It's actually automatically calling up the router page. Okay, good. So at least it knows what's up. Detect my connection, please. Let's connect to the internet. Yes, let's do connect to the internet. Checking for firmware updates. Ho-hum. And then after it scrolls through this thing, the blah, 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 click another button. What time is it? Your router is not able to tell the time because it lost contact with the NTP time server. Yeah, great. So what does this mean? I'm apparently connected. So if I open up a new tab and click on this, will I get something from the web? Let's wait for it. I did the click. Is it going to pull up my Domino's game? And we wait. And we wait. And yes, okay, I have connectivity. What does it all mean? It means we can now shut this thing down because we don't want the damn World Wide Web crap to begin with. And now what? Now we need to reboot the computer once again so that this time it can find a clock. Because this computer doesn't even have a clock in it. Cool, right? Yeah, I know. And now that this is working, we can now open up some terminal windows here. Let me log in and check my emails. Oh, yes, I have 3 emails that aren't for me. Okay, so, yeah, all right, I finally have some connectivity. And I've got no emails that I need to deal with. And that just means what? What? What does it mean? It means it's time to get out of the car. Ugh. Yeah, see, a lot of people might think it's cool. Oh, you installed a Raspberry Pi in your car. And you got a full-size monitor in here and a full-size regular wireless keyboard. You're a pretty cool hacker, Toad. Yeah. Yeah, and, oh, but it's not so great. So that's why I needed to come down to the creek today, to see something great. And I was thinking maybe we could see some owls. Maybe it's owl day. But I don't know. Let's just see what we can find. I did see something kind of awesome last night. Something that was happening down in Kentucky, something that I like to refer to as a regional
a regional sport. That's a euphemism for redneck crap. So what kind of rural recreational sport was I watching last night? Well, it had something to do with trucks, as you could probably imagine. All right, I'm under the canopy now. And I'm looking down into the marmot zone. Are there any Mati's down here? There's Mati's down here, but I don't see any right now. Where could they be? They're in their hole, doing Mati stuff. Oh, I forgot to mention. Two nights ago, there was a baby raccoon on my back porch. I was washing my hands in the kitchen sink at about 2:15 a.m., and I heard this squee, squee, squee sound. And it sort of sounded like it was coming from the air conditioner area in my backyard. And so I went over to the back door and I could hear squee, squee. And then he popped up onto the deck and he ran across the deck going squee, squee, squee. And he was a little dude. He was just a little guy. And he ran down the stairs and went across the yard. And he was looking for his family or something. What was that sound behind me? Oh, I thought I heard an owl, but... All right, let's head down into the creek. I'm not seeing any owls at this level. Ooh, it's kind of hot out here today. Maybe we shouldn't have done this. Shouldn't have. Okay, I got mosquitoes buzzing in my ear. I'm making it down the dangerously treacherous slope safely. Well, so far, mosquitoes still trying to bite me in the face. And anyway, the stuff that I was watching last night was Trug of War? What's a Trug of War? What I meant to say was Tug of War. You take a couple of pickup trucks and you chain or rope them together with about 3 or 4 meters worth of rope or chain or something very strong. I'm walking upstream. And then you say, on your marks, get set, go. And the trucks try to pull each other across a line. It's, yeah, it's a pretty rednecky thing to do. But I was so fascinated by it that I thought, you know, I kind of want to do this. I would at least go to one of these events. And it wasn't a big deal. You know, it was just a patch of dirt, some Jersey barriers, and some people sitting around watching, you know, trucks try to destroy each other. And I found it to be fascinating. There was, you know, the 6,600-pound class four-wheel drive. Then there was, like, two-wheel drive. And there was different classes for different size trucks. And I sort of enjoyed this more than I thought I would. I'm not interested in trucks or motor vehicles or doing weird crap like this, but something about this really appealed to me. And the fact that a lot of people had to do a lot of thinking to figure out the best way to make a tug-of-war truck. And these things, they do look odd. And no, you can't drive them on the streets. They are not street legal. And I thought, you know, if I live down there in Kentucky, wherever they're doing this, it didn't say where in Kentucky, it just said Kentucky. Could be anywhere. Kentucky's a big state. And they have wonderful, wonderful fireworks laws. I'm not seeing any owls up here. I'm heading back downstream. And I thought to myself, I wonder what it would cost to buy a truck. You gotta put a motor in it. You gotta do some work on it. And I thought, maybe I want to build a tug-of-war truck. But I don't know if there's anybody around here that does this. So, what would be the point? I don't know. Do I really need to build one, or do I just really want to drive one during a tug-of-war? Maybe both. maybe I just want to operate the truck once and then it'll be out of my system and I'll never have to do it again. All right, so I'm walking up to the, I'm walking up to the golf ball finding area. I think I see something special. I do see color. I see one red, I see another red. There's some whites, and there's two balls by the reds that are in the deep water. And one of those reds does not look like it's completely red. And I'm wondering if it is another yellow and red two-tone ball. Well, to find out, we're going to need a stout stick, because this is not a good one. That's the long stick. We need a medium stick. Don't panic, Tobe. It's too hot to panic. If I panic, I will get sick. I probably shouldn't be out here. It's a little bit hotter than I thought it was. I thought I had one more day of cool weather. But I guess not. You know what? We might have to go with this stick after all, because it's the only stick. Wait, what's this over here? Is this an appropriate stick? Maybe. Let's try it out. So we've got a potentially appropriate stick, and now I gotta get down into, the creek bed, just like this. Now we walk over here on the sandbar. Sandbar. It's looking good. It is. All right. Now, this ball that I thought was a red is not a red. It is an orange. It is a nitro orange. It's in 30 centimeters of water, but the water is so clear that I can read the ball and just push it right up onto the sandbar. Boom. We've got ourselves an orange nitro number one. And over here, I can reach it with the stick. We've got a two-tone ball. It's apparently yellow and red. It is a Srixon. It looks like a Srixon number two. That other yellow and red that I have, is it a Srixon number one? I wonder if this is the same player. And you, boom. Oh, come on, buddy. There you go. All right. The golf ball is on the sandbar. I'm going to return this retrieval stick to the bank. We're going to go back to the golf balls. There's two white ones in there too. There's a white Callaway and something else. And we'll get the nitro. Now, do I want this white one over here? No. Do I want the white one over here? No. The creek has changed again. The water's no longer flowing on this side. It goes over to here. So let's go over here, where this is a really good golf ball washing area, and wash these golf balls off. Washing them off manually. Yeah, the hard way. The way that we did back in, you know, pre-industrial times, before the invention of the internal spiral brush. Before the invention of the high-performance internal spiral brush. Before the invention of anodized aluminum logo-free bodies. There's a couple of white golf balls laying on these sandbars. I don't want them. But, you know, now that we're down in the creek bed itself, let's just hop over the water. This is great, because now we no longer have to climb over the picnic table dam. How convenient. But let's check under the picnic table dam, because sometimes golf balls hide under here. Remember, this is where we found our first green one. Pretty much right where that white one is right now. So I'm just going to walk up the creek bed. Another white golf ball. I'm going to look up on the bank here, because this bank is where a lot of balls like to hide. I don't see any though. So what do I have in my hands? This orange nitro number one is better than the first orange nitro number one that we ever found. The color is consistent. Oh, I'm glad I said that, because that reminded me of something else I need to tell you. We can step back over the waterway here. Still walking up the creek. The Srixon number two red and white ball is in good shape. It's going to need a slightly deeper cleaning, but I'm pretty happy that I have found a second two-tone ball. And I suspect it's from the same golfer. I am checking the creek bed up here for golf balls. I don't know why. I'm just walking in the middle of the creek. Because I can. On the sandbar. But now I've reached a spot where I can no longer continue up the creek. But it's kind of cool because right here there's a big tree that's being eroded underneath, and we can see all the tree roots and stuff. That's pretty cool. Damn, it's hot out here. I'm kind of standing in the sun. Let's back up a little bit so we can be in the shade. And you know what? I'm just thinking in general, maybe we should leave. You know, I've found my treasure for the day. I've got a two-tone golf ball. I've got the second two-tone golf ball. And you know what? I'm just going to, since it's easier to get back up on the bank right here, I'm going to go up here. And now we're back at this log that has little fuzzy stuff growing in it. Some kind of fungally stuff. Something that'll be mushrooms at some point. At which point we will say, yay, mushrooms, and take pictures of them. Yeah, kind of hot, kind of weird. All right, this nitro is apparently glossy. The Srixon is a matte finish. These golf balls are going in my pocket, and I am going back up the steep, slippery, extraordinarily treacherous slope, which means almost back to my car, which means it's time to plug in the magic music machine. Plunk. So we can listen to, that's right, Tico, the rock and roll bird. Yeah, and of course there's just a nice cold cutoff at the end. that sort of irritates me. I mean, the guy knows something about audio. He plays guitar, knows amplifiers, but maybe he doesn't because he's not recording the bird well. He's got a compressor limiter on the bird's microphone that it takes way too long to come back. Oh, yada. I tell you, if I was miking that bird, I'd use PZMs. I'd use two PZMs, and then I'd run some effects. I'd run delay on that bird. That would be pretty cool. I would also just go ahead and pair Steve Stevens up with this bird, because that was obviously Rebel Yell, and I'd rather listen to that bird sing it than Billy Idol. But that's just me. So what else do we got going on here today? Well, I gotta show you one little synthesizer thing because I came up with a patch. I have made a funny little patch on Florian, so let's plug this in. And we'll turn this channel on, and we need to turn on this mixer. Do I have sound? Yes, I do. So this is the little patch I made. Notice how it tails off and does weird things at the end. What happens if we hold it? See, it holds just fine. And then when you release, it does weird stuff to the cutoff and the resonance. And how did I do this? Well, all I did was plug the VCA envelope generator output into the sub-oscillator, the first sub-oscillator. And why does this even work? I haven't quite figured this out. But it has to do with the way I have the sub-oscillators set up, and it's just too fun. Do-diddly-do-do-do. And I was doing other weird stuff where, you know, we can get this going with on a sequence, and then we can change the sequence, because I've got a square wave LFO hooked up to one of the sequencer's rhythm generators, so every time that LFO cycles, the rhythm changes. Do diddle do do do. And then we turn on the LFO. Diddle do do do. Man, why am I so dry? Oh my God, look at my hand pressure. My hand pressure is unbelievably low right now. That's to be expected. And then what else did I discover? I discovered that if I take a patch cord, and how did I do this before? Yeah, if I plug the VCO2 sub-oscillator 2 output into the filter cutoff frequency input, then it becomes all metal. Bang! Oh, it's so industrial death, and it tails off and does weird stuff at the end. Yeah, that's a sound that you hear on a Vogon spaceship. Yeah, that's the PA announcement. That's when you hear that, you know the captain's gonna start reading some terrible, terrible poetry. It's like a paging tone. And here it is one more time. To let you know that you've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. I'm glad I found multicolored golf balls.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.